let's just put this in perspective. Under her administration, you would have seniors getting less cost of living adjustments while your tax dollars are going to pay the pensions of Ukrainian bureaucrats.
That's not true.
You talk about putting Americans last. That is wrong. You've supported all that money going over there. So let's put our own people first.
We have to put
Governor Haley let
him speak. And she also said, she said recently that the age of Social Security is way too low. And I criticized that. And then she was called on it. And then she said she never said it. Of course, you're lying. And then sure enough, you put on the interview where she's there, spit an image, and she says it's way too low. So, you know, we can play this song and dance. She has a record. She makes statements. And I think part of the problem with her candidacy is now that she's getting scrutiny, she's got this problem with ballistic podiatry, shooting herself in the foot every other day, saying things that now she doesn't even take questions from people.
I mean, I wish that I had a band of podiatrists that were also competitive shooters and then played some Southern Fried Rock, because I think that's what the band name would be, is Ballistic Podiatry. That was actually quite good. I'm going to so steal it. I'm so going to steal it without attribution. I'm going to thieve it like Claudine Gay. Welcome to the program. Hoo boy. Hoo boy. We got, I got a lot of good stuff for you as well. And speaking of her website, there's going to be a piece going live here momentarily up at the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lorraine was burning the midnight oil because she caught some shenanigans on that website that neocon Nikki was pushing. So we're going to talk. Oh, did I say that? All right. So first off, welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour. It's post-debate. And I think it's, I mean, to me, it seems pretty much settled. And as I wrote in one of the, I think it was one of the pieces, I'm sorry, I'm pulling this up right now because things kind of had a little hiccup. One of the pieces that I wrote last night, I was kind of talking a little bit about the shelf life, particularly of Haley's candidacy. Because see, you have Iowa, and then after you have New Hampshire and South Carolina. She's got a little bit of an extension, being that South Carolina is her home state, and also New Hampshire's, you know, East Coasty, Northeast Coasty. So she kind of can appeal to that as well. So it makes DeSantis's job a little harder in terms of longevity. But when I watch this debate, and you guys know where I am, I, unlike everyone else in this industry, whatever you want to call it, I actually will go against my own best interest because I can't stand blowing smoke up your backside, right? I simply cannot. I can't stand it. I tell you where I'm at, not as a way to tell you what to think, just so you know where I'm coming from. I honestly don't care what you do. I mean, I don't want to sound mean, but I'm also going to, if I see somebody gaslighting you, or I'm going to call it out. I don't care who they are. I am only in this as a voter and for voters because, and also not to sound mean, I'm going to say that a lot today. I hate these people. I mean, maybe hate's a strong word. They're not people that I would chill with. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are not people. They're politicians, and I get real weird. I have a story of someone who I was friends with who ran for office, and it just made it weird with me. Is that ignorant? Shut up. You for a split second, you were like, it's kind of bitchy. Yeah. I just saw the expression, Kane.
I was weighing the pros and cons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I just immediately distrust someone. When I can't help it. There's something in my American DNA that kicks in. So I'm going to start with that because I'm going to be straight no chaser with you guys. And I'm on your behalf. I don't care about any of these people. I mean, I want to win in 2024. I voted for Trump twice. I want to win in 2024. I prefer DeSantis in the primary. But at the same time, you know, I have disagreements with him, and I'm going to talk about that coming up. It's true. Nobody's perfect. I disagree with my husband about how to load the dishwasher. His way is insane. Not everybody agrees 100%. So I don't think that you have to in order to support someone or not. But one thing that I cannot stand is when people try to retcon history. I cannot stand that. And we're going to go through some of it. So welcome again. You can listen coast to coast. Watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. And YouTube, Facebook, always really good discussion happening there. So first up, my 30,000 foot view is that I think Nikki Haley. Now, I walked into this debate wanting DeSantis to win it, but it's not a guarantee. And I'm not going to sit here and expend my own political capital by telling you something that's not true. I don't love any candidate, politician, or anyone in the public eye enough to spend my personal capital on them. I don't care how ignorant it sounds. It's God's honest truth. And if everyone else in this industry was being honest with you, they'd say the same thing. But I'm going to tell you my exact opinion. So I walked into this. I wanted him to win. But if Nikki Haley is having a good day and she's on, she can be a good debater. It's weird because sometimes she's on and sometimes she's not. One thing that she does not have is any kind of internal regulator to roll it back, because this chick had mad Hillary energy last night. And you kind of heard it in the soundbite that we just played. She's like, you're lying. You're so desperate. I hate that. That's like pick me girl energy. I cannot stand it. Right? You know it's true. There was at one point, she kept saying it throughout the literal debate. You're demeaning me. And this was her worst debate. I did not have a personal dislike of her going into this. I disliked her policies greatly. But after watching this performance last night, I think that if I'd actually ever met her, I would have a personal. I met her one time backstage at an event, like for 5 seconds. I think if I actually like met her and talked to her, I think I dislike her. I'm just saying, because I cannot stand when chicks do that. When someone disagrees with you, you're not being attacked. I can't stand this whole, I'm a strong woman and I my heels are ammunition. And also, you're demeaning me because he's disagreeing with you? Stop it. How many times is she going to play that chick card? It was so annoying. I could not handle it. So if you followed me on social media, that was a huge... It was a huge chunk of what I was saying, because I was shocked that she leaned into it so hard, because she did. This was the worst debate she ever had. She came off as Hillary 2.0, petty and whiny and playing the woman card. DeSantis seemed confident and amused. Now, this can go both ways. When I talk about that internal regulator, you don't want to go so hard that you look like a bitch. With women, it's easy to do that. And if you're a dude, you don't want to go so hard that you look like you're just callous and flippant, because then that can be projected as a feeling towards the voter. So you've got to be careful. There was one point where she actually, let me pull this up. There was at one point in this debate where I was shocked. They were talking about military, and he mentioned his military service, and she rolled her eyes as he mentioned it. This was the audio soundbite 11. And if you're watching the simulcast, you can see it. He just mentioned it because they were talking about military and foreign policy. And she rolled her eyes when he mentioned it. Listen.
I'm the only one running for president that served in the armed forces. I deployed to Iraq back in 2007, 2008. So I understand what our military goes through.
That's Kane, right?
Did she even mouth like, wow? Like it was something... She's so surprised to hear come out of his mouth.
I don't know, but I'm trying to figure out why that was worthy of her rolling her eyes. It just looked D-class A. That's what I'm talking about. It just very much looked D-class A. I thought that the questions were asked pretty straight. There was a lot of focus on foreign policy, and they were. It was very good. This was audio sound by four. This was a banger, as Steve would say. Listen.
She doesn't articulate how this comes to an end, except she was asked after the last debate by, I believe, Megyn Kelly. And she said, you bring it to an end by bringing Ukraine into NATO. But of course, we're a NATO country. So if you bring Ukraine into NATO, that puts the United States at war. Megyn said that to her. And then she basically gave a word salad as to how you go from there. So they have sent cash. She supports this $106 billion that they're trying to get through Congress. Where is some of that money going? They've done tens of billions of dollars to pay salaries for Ukrainian government bureaucrats. They've paid pensions for Ukrainian retirees with your tax dollars. We've got homeless veterans. We have all these problems. This is the UN way of thinking, that we're somehow globalists and we have unlimited resources to do. You know, I think here's the problem. You can take the ambassador out of the United Nations, but you can't take the United Nations out of the ambassador.
Now, my biggest disagreement with her, and she's been on the show and we've talked about it, is foreign policy. And we really went back and forth on Ukraine. because I don't believe that. I mean, Russia can't even take Ukraine. What in the world makes these people think that they're going to launch a huge war on NATO, United States, Britain? I mean, et cetera, et cetera. People know who all the NATO members are. They already have NATO on their doorstep with the Baltic states. It's unbelievable because it's not going to happen. And I think it's a pretext. It's just this old time, old fashioned foreign policy that is not current in today's context. It's not applicable in today's context. And that's one of the big differences. And I was really glad to see that measured out. Now, before the debate, Chris Christie dropped out. He didn't endorse anyone because Chris Christie's only ever about Chris Christie. I'm not going to backpat him. I'm not going to high-five him. I'm just glad that he dropped out. I wish he would have done it sooner because he just clogged up the sewer pipe that is this primary. And he had said he was suspending his campaign, and then he added this, audio soundbite 3. So stupid.
Because I want to promise you this. I am going to make sure that in no way do I enable Donald Trump to ever be president of the United States again.
But he's doing that now.
And that's more important than my own personal ambition.
So he's going to try. I think he is throwing momentum. I think he's going to back Haley. I think, and if he doesn't do it publicly, he's going to do it back channel. You can say what you want, but Haley's got a lot of establishment momentum behind her. And I think that he does this right before Iowa and then also leading into New Hampshire because he wants to throw some of that momentum towards her. Am I supposed to think that this was like some kind of grand gesture? Guy had no shot in hell in winning at all whatsoever. He's not popular. He's not even popular with a lot of moderates and independents. He has too high of a red count in his own state even. He didn't even have a lot of endorsements in his own state even. So I find it goofy that he thought that he had any kind of serious candidacy. He just wanted to be a cudgel. That's all he wanted to be. And I don't think it's any kind of grand gesture. Now, coming up, there's a million things to hit because we've got a debate recap, what this means for Iowa going forward, what it means for New Hampshire, and a very unpopular opinion that I hold. Maybe it's unpopular, maybe it's not. I don't think that you can call yourself a fighter when you don't show up to the fights. So we got a lot to hit. Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec's P15 is a must-have. This is not a think about it. It's not a, oh, maybe this would be nice. It is an absolute must-have in your EDC, your everyday carry rotation. And the reason why is because it is the lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market. It's 14 ounces unloaded, and it holds standard capacity of 15 plus one rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear, striker fire reliability, super sweet trigger. Comes into two versions, so to speak. You have the polymer and the metal. The polymer has a gator grip texture, easy, accurate handling. The metal version, classic wood grips for a very comfortable feel. And it's just classy looking. This is like something James Bond would carry, like the 60s version of James Bond would carry. Same excellent capacity, same game-changing innovation. You have to check it out. The P15, it's one of my absolute favorites. For public safety and self-defense, make the P15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So today in football news, sports ball. Nick Saban retires as Alabama coach after his historic, unparalleled career. The Tuscaloosa News has one of the initial stories. They said he's retiring. It came out last night that they never wanted to hear it. All my Bama friends are just as depressed as could be. But he's going out on a high note. 17 seasons he won. National championships. I mean, golly, he's 72 years old. And so he's won six national championships when he arrived in 2007. And his career ends with seven total, one with LSU. Nobody else has won more in the history of college football. So that's a very illustrious career indeed. Mark Zuckerberg shares that he is raising cattle, beer, and macadamia nuts on his newly expanded Hawaiian estate. The CEO shared his latest passion project. He said that I will say this. He's not like, I got my issues with Facebook, believe me, because they throttle me. But he won't do business with China, and he's not going along with the don't eat beef people. So I don't dislike him as much. I'm a little bit chaotic neutral on this. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's not like a Bill Gates. And he's raising counties like, I love beef. I'm eating meat. So I'm cool with that. Fauci admits social distancing wasn't scientific and the Wuhan lab leak wasn't a conspiracy theory. One of the things that came out yesterday, still ongoing today. He finished up his second day of closed door testimony before the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, chaired by Brad Winstrup. And those were some of the highlights. It was a 2-day, 14-hour transcribed interview. Remember how I told you this is standard operating procedure with this stuff? Hunter Biden won't do this because then he actually has to go on record. But Fauci said the 6 feet apart social distancing recommendation that was promoted was not based on data. He said it, quote, just sort of appeared. Except, no, they started it way back. It was like some kind of high school science project. And then they ended up promoting it. Red State has like the whole origin story of the social distancing. So that's some nonsense right there. We're going to talk about it. Amazon is about to eat the television universe. Prime Video is going to make its ad tier, the default for its tens of millions of subscribers. I think this is stupid. They just laid off a bunch of people too. They fired a bunch of people on the video side. I think if you are why the hell do you pay the premium fee to have commercials? If I see commercials, I literally will make a note to never buy your product. I am hateful. I will never buy your product. If I see it, if it falls off a truck, I'll run over it. I'm driving on the road. I don't know. Just full of just vinegar and you know what today. Coming up, we got to, there's the slap fight, the 24 slap fight, the Fauci stuff. Stay with us.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your laptop exposed, just wide open at the coffee shop while you like run to the register or run to use the restroom. I mean, most of the time you're probably going to be okay, but what if one day you come back and you know your laptop is gone or someone's there browsing through all your stuff? I mean, every single time you connect to an unencrypted network, if you're at an airport or a hotel, anywhere, anybody on the same network can gain access to your personal data, things like your financial details, your passwords, and it doesn't take a lot of technical know-how to just like hack somebody. I mean, some cheap hardware is needed and a mildly intelligent 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable because your info can get sold on the dark web. So this is why you need to use ExpressVPN. First off, you got an encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't steal your sensitive data and then sell it. And it would take somebody with a supercomputer over like a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Super easy to use. You just fire up the app, you click on one button, get protected, and it works on all your devices. So like when I'm traveling, I'm sure there's stuff that, you know, even anime, if I want to watch it, that I can get using ExpressVPN, things that are only available outside of the US. It just gives you more freedom to choose while also staying protected online. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Dana. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. And you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Would you ever allow a shutdown in the future?
You're talking about a COVID shutdown?
Correct.
No, I wouldn't. And I never did.
We did the right thing. We closed the country down.
Could have kept it open. And I could have done what some countries are doing.
I had to shut it down. We did the right thing.
Florida did shut down. Ron DeSantis shut down.
We're in a place called Florida, and we have a great governor. A
great governor knows exactly what he's doing.
Terrific job. He just announced that the schools will be open.
Governor's done a great job. Florida is down low now in the China virus.
He shut his state down very violently.
And you're open and you didn't close and you're just amazing, right? It's great.
One of the greatest governors in our country, and I know a lot of good ones, and I can tell you there's some really bad ones too, but this is a great one, Governor Ron DeSantis.
So this was, it started with his answer to one of the questions at that the town hall that he had last night, which I only watched bits and pieces of. I'll expand on that. And also compared to all of the other times where he was promoting lockdowns. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you, bottom of this first hour. As I've said before, I don't believe, we don't live in a monarchy. We had people who died to protect our system, our democratic processes in this free republic. And it is the responsibility of every free American to ask questions and hold politicians accountable. Politicians are supposed to be loyal to you. I absolutely reject the Marxist theory that we are to serve the politician and we cannot ask them questions because of some bull crap loyalty, when in fact the opposite is supposed to be true. They are supposed to be loyal to us. And I think that 2024 Trump would like to have a word with 2020 Trump. And you cannot tell me that there should not be questions asked about this. He had said he wouldn't support a COVID shutdown, and he said he was a federalist. But you just heard in the soundbite, and we have tons of video on this. I mean, let me know and I'll play them. We've got a lot of video on this, do we not, Kane? Where he was attacking states that either did not lock down fast enough or reopened, or didn't lock down everything or reopened too fast. So you can try to retcon what you did in the past, but there are videos that I have right now that I'm looking at. Can we let's play some of them? Just get them ready. Where he was telling people, he was blasting either Georgia or Florida, you know, they were reopening, or when he was promoting Fauci and celebrating Fauci and promoting the vaccine and telling everyone that they should get it. There's video that I have here where he's telling all of his supporters to get the vaccine. Don't try to retcon it. Listen, here's an example.
He took care of Joe Biden because he got his shot. He got his vaccine. He forgot. It shows you how unpainful that vaccine shot is. So everybody go get your shot.
It works incredibly well, 95%.
I mean,
maybe
this is just, we've got this, we've got him going after, like I said, these governors who, I mean, he went after Florida, he went after Georgia, because he thought they reopened too much. I remember that distinctly, because Kane and I were kind of looking at each other. We carried that. That's when they were still doing the coronavirus task force. They had their press conferences every day, and he was standing there on the stage at the podium with Dr. Burke and Dr. Fauci, and he was asked about that from a member of the press, and he then started throwing shade on the states that were reopening or had kids or were trying to get kids to go back to schools. He was mad over it. So you can't retcon this. Don't gaslight us. That's what Biden and Democrats do every damn day. We're Americans. We have the right to say, hold up. You shut down the largest economy in the world. Our kids suffered immeasurably. We have a right to ask. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't say you're a fighter and then not show up to the fights. Don't say that debates are unimportant and then hold a town hall where you received no pushback. I'm sorry, but there was no pushback in that town hall. None. Answers are all the questions are they're all screened and they're all pre-selected. Is Biden not made fun of that for that? So there was no pushback at that town hall at all whatsoever. It was just a fawning episode. That's all it was. It might have well been just a rally. But don't say that debates are unimportant and then not go to the debate, but then host a fawning town hall in the same damn town on the same damn night. Voters have a right to hear from politicians and ask them questions. And you know what? They have the right to see you argue them and try to support them. Pre-selected questions, please. Fawning hosts who are too afraid of what may happen to their ratings or from up on high to ask hard questions and push back, please. There was no pushback on that. There wasn't a single question about due process and red flag and gun seizure either. Not a single one of these cable news hosts have either had the knowledge or the beans to ask. None of them. So, yes, we have an absolute right to question this. And I absolutely reject the Marxist dummy accounts on social media that try to shame you and bully you out of your God-given American right to hold these people accountable and ask them questions. I don't care who they are. They try to make you feel like you're bad or you're part of the establishment because you ask questions of the guy who handpicked the Republican Party chair, who has the backing of Lindsey Graham, who campaigns with Lindsey Graham. Seriously? And I say this as somebody who voted twice for him. I introduced him at CPAC. His campaign asked me to be their spokesperson. So Everything I said, all of it, ask questions, hold accountable. It applies to him too. And this is my point. Now, the debate, I thought, was interesting. And I noticed that all these other people were too afraid to, they're too afraid to remark on anything. They're too afraid. I'm done with it. I'm done. That's the other thing. Do you realize that people will try to cancel you on the, I mean, yeah, I hate it. It's cancel culture. You're told to be careful about the primary stuff. I've heard this before. I've heard it from executives. I've heard it from so many people. Oh, you got to be careful. Have you seen some of the polls? The national polls are coming to a close. They're getting closer. Coming up, we're going to talk about how you're kind of getting set up for a trap, I think. But if you were really in this to like make money and all of this stuff, you'd be doing what some of these other cats are doing. Going out there, celebrating, basically being like an arm of somebody's campaign. Speaking of which, last night, the one thing I did disagree with DeSantis on, I thought he did great. And then he mentioned term limits, and I totally disagree. I've said this before. And again, I don't even agree with my husband on everything. I've said this before. I think term limits is giving a right and responsibility of the voter to the government. The vote is the term limit. And he only mentioned it once. I wish one of the moderators would have come back to it. I would have immediately stopped and said, what do you make of the criticism that that is ceding voter authority to the government? Because that's what it is. I am hardcore against term limits because that's your job. That's our job. I agree with the Federalists on this, the Federalist Papers. I've read Anti-Federalist and Federalist Remarks, and I side with the founders in the Federalist Papers arguing against term limits. The voters, the term limit. And I also think, you know, the way that Senate was selected, I mean, we could go back a long ways on this. But again, just very basically, it comes down to the voter and your vote is the term limit. Now, this is where it gets kind of crazy, because why is it that you have candidates who say things on video, and then when they're asked about the things that they said on video, they say they didn't say that? I'm really curious. So, for instance, you had this audio soundbite 6, and she kept going, "You lie, you lie." This had to do, Nikki Mouse, with Disney. Listen to this.
We took on Disney and we defeated that and we won that fight and our kids are better off. Now, Nikki Haley sided with Disney. She invited them to South Carolina, even though they were involved in transing kids. That is not what we need to do. But I think that's similar.
I mean, you remember we talked about that when it happened. She actually invited Disney to South Carolina to do business. She invited them to do business there. And then she wants to act like she's on the part. She's like in on somehow the side of the parents. I mean, do you believe that Disney should be able to dodge its tax responsibility in Florida with completely anti-populist, anti-voter, preferential, croniest tax dodging treatment? Because that's what they enjoyed. And it was put to an end. You can sit here and argue about when it was put to an end, but it was put to an end. Maybe if Disney hadn't taken their war to parents, maybe it wouldn't have come up. Who knows? But it shouldn't have been there regardless of when it ended. I don't care. I made the remark that she's only pro-life because she needs babies to woo Disney to South Carolina. It's true. And then you have this. Audio soundbite 9. That might be a little long, but I'm gonna cut it. We got to talk about this. There's an article that's up on my Substack right now, Chapter and Verse by Lorraine. Let's hit this one.
There are at least a couple of dozen so far that he's done. So what we're going to do is, rather than have him go and tell you all these lies, you can go to DeSantisLies.com and look at all of those. There's at least two dozen lies that he's told about
me.
And
you can
see where fact checkers say exactly what's going to happen and exactly why it's wrong. So it will cover the fact that he's only mad about the donors, because the donors used to be with him, but they're no longer with him now. And that's because he's upset about the fact that...
So the website, so this is what Lorraine found. And even my own college kid was looking at this yesterday. Her website actually debunks her claims. Apparently, they didn't actually look at... You can tell that they just Google food and just pick the first headline that they read. I'm not kidding you. It is so embarrassing. Her own actual sources completely obliterate her narratives on one thing after the other. Lorraine goes through it. It's up now. On the Gaza refugees, she was claiming that somehow that she was saying that DeSantis lied about me and said I want to accept refugees. She literally did, and she actually was talking about that. And then, but more so, DeSantis never said that. Like, the source that she has listed actually debunks it, debunks the claim that she's making. And then she uses as her source for other things that she can't cherry pick something on. She literally links to a video of herself saying it. My source is myself. I am not joking with you. This is almost the entirety of her website. My college kid was looking at this. Lorraine went through the whole thing last night. I mean, over and over again on energy, China. She says that DeSantis recruited Chinese companies. And then she literally linked to something that in the second paragraph totally said otherwise. That is so embarrassing. And she just kept pushing it. And it's a clunky website in the first place. But oh my gosh. I mean, it's insane. And then she tried to blame, for instance, DeSantis for a policy that was under Rick Scott's administration that DeSantis ended. And so she misrepresents it on her website. For instance, this is about like these energy incentives, etc. The same thing with the fracking in the Everglades. Florida voters voted no on fracking in the Everglades. That's their right to do so. They can do it. I mean, it passed like overwhelmingly. And she says that DeSantis basically made an executive maneuver to ban fracking in all of Florida. What? That's the stuff that she says. And it's immediately disproven in everything on her website. It is one of the worst things. My son was like, you know what? This wouldn't even, I would actually have this count against me if I presented this as sources in one of my classes. Because it's so bad. I mean, she's getting owned by kids, for crying out loud. It's up at Substack right now, chapter and verse. It's the top story up there. You need to see how bad it is. It's so bad. You really do. I mean, it's worth a read. Our partners over at Wise Foods, you'd rather be prepared and have it than not and not need it than need it and just be totally without and then go hungry and starve. You never know. Because you always want to be prepared. It's smart. And Wise Foods wants to make it easy for you to do so. Wise Food Storage. So you can have a buy one, get one free discount on their 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com. You type Dana in the search bar. And when you do that, you'll get access to exclusive deals on their best-selling products. Like their 72-hour food kit, the buy one, get one. It's a $100 value for just $50. It has the two boxes with 12 pouches of premium survival food. You got entrees, breakfast, drinks, all kinds of good stuff. You got some protein, but you also have a lot of carbs in there too, because that's what you're good when you're in that survival situation. That's what you need to survive, as any survival expert will tell you. You also have heirloom seed vaults too to choose from. Start thinking about your next garden. 39 variety of seeds in this, all kinds, and they're non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds, 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dane in the search bar for access to those deals like the buy one, get one on the 72-hour food kit. That's wisefoodstorage.com. Code Dana. Type Dane in the search bar.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Mm-hmm. So, to those who say I can't vote for Joe Biden, he's too old, what do you say?
I say his age is an asset.
Aha! He's wise.
Yes, he's wise. He has wisdom. He has experience. He knows every leader on the world stage. He's lived history. He knows history. Mm-hmm. He's thoughtful in his decisions. He is the right man, or the right person.
Why is she campaigning for him job like this? Like, why isn't he out here making? Oh, because he's probably like fell down in the basement somewhere. Hell if I know. Welcome back to the program. That's Jill Biden. Who? Oh, sorry, I got to mention the pity PhD, the freebie, the participation trophy. I'm not calling her doctor. If you can't rearrange guts, stop it. I maintain that. I have friends who, well, I got a friend who's got a doctorate and they can't arrange guts. And we agree to disagree. Sorry you paid that much just to have your ego filleted. Really sorry. I mean it. I'm not sorry at all. So that was her interview. What was that, NBC, MSNBC? He's full of vigor. you mean vinegar? Like he's pickled? Because that makes more sense, really. I mean, if you think about it. His age is an asset. He's history. He's been alive since the creation of time. I mean, he knows all the world leaders because he was old when they were born. I'm so tired of like these octogenarians running for office. Stop it. Her other soundbite, which we're going to play coming up, is also bad because, guys, she's mad at you because you have dared to ask questions about infant baby hunter. Little crack spoken baby hunter. She's mad. She says you're ignorant and mean and you're cruel for what you're doing to him. So mean. I've got that for you coming up. And also, when are we actually going to be able to ask questions that need to be asked in the Republican primary without a tiny fraction of people melting down? Mm-hmm. Right? And I don't want you to be cowed into thinking that you can't freely ask questions by brand new engagement accounts on social media. So you have a right. It's your responsibility as an American, and we're going to continue doing that on this program. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they're going to save you money. They got plans tailor-made for you. Whatever you need, they got you covered, and they want to save you the cost of activation. Just use my name, code Dana, and you can get free activation. But here's the important thing. All of these other cell phone companies out there have political action committees where they funnel money towards gun control, towards DEI, towards all these things that you vote against and fight against, whether it's in your community or your kids' schools. And Patriot Mobile is on the side of parents and freedom. So they protect the things that you vote for every time you go to the ballot box. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. And they have 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes it easy to switch so you can help maintain U.S.-based jobs and create more. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Donald Trump was actually attacking you back in 2020 for not shutting the state down more. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, I mean, Joe, this was the number one crisis he faced as president, and he chose to defer to Anthony Fauci. They were running commercials in October of 2020 for his reelection, bragging that he followed everything Fauci said. And then when Fauci, Donald Trump's last day in office, he gave Fauci a commendation. He forcibly shut down Florida's cruise industry. They shut down churches on military bases, and they were pressuring states. Remember, when Brian Kemp reopened Georgia in April, Donald Trump went to the White House podium and attacked him for doing that. He was saying schools should be closed. They attacked me in the summer of 2020 when Florida had its first COVID wave and we had schools and businesses open. So it's massive, massive gaslighting. He was able to do that, I guess, on Fox with no pushback, which was really, I guess that's just par for the course at this point. But the reality is he knows that he dropped the ball.
That's true, though. I mean, I think all of this this is why people want questions to be asked. And I'm sorry, but the town hall last night, the debate was the debate. Iron sharpens iron. Fighters show up to fights. And the town hall, where there were pre-selected questions, they were softballs, and there was no pushback. There were a couple, actually, I will say, there were a couple of good questions, but there was no pushback. If Trump would say something, Brett Baer and Martha McCallum sat there like, "Rrr." Brett Baer only pushed back one time on J6. That was it. One time. Otherwise, it was, okay, now next question. What is the point of it? I mean, if there is nothing, if you don't have anything to fear, and that's why you don't want to debate, then why even do a town hall in the same town, literally down the street, the same night? Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. Always good to be with you. And I'm always going to ask questions of elected officials. It's always going to happen. I'm having a nice disagreement right now with a very wonderful listener who disagrees with me on term limits, because I said, this is one thing I do disagree with DeSantis on. He likes term limits. I do not, because I think that's the voter's responsibility. I'm very, very Federalist about it, Federalist Papers. And I'm having a very nice discussion, as it should always be, with a listener who's like, no, this is why I said, and I appreciate other people's viewpoints, but I just don't agree. Now with this, I wanted to play, going in, because I think that DeSantis brings up some very good questions. And I think having two people debate that, how invaluable would that be? You have a governor who was criticized for opening, because everybody followed the White House's lead to some extent in the very beginning before we knew what was happening. And then the moment the science became apparent, a lot of states began bucking those orders. And that's when Trump got mad. Florida was one of them. As soon as the science came out, they 180'd. And I'm glad they did. A lot of other areas did too. A lot of others didn't. But I am very interested in watching those two debate as to why Trump felt without actual science it was necessary to shut down the largest economy in the world and demand that people lock down and then go after these governors and states that didn't follow their edicts and listen to that being contrasted. I want to see iron sharpen iron because I'm a free citizen and I am very excited to exercise my rights that have been that people died to protect in this republic and this whole system. Those are good points. There was no pushback at the town hall. And there, weirdly, was no pushback on this either. I wanted to play, where's this at? This is, okay, so this is 19. This is kind of long. I may jump in. But this was a pro-life. This was one of, like, maybe, I think, two good questions at the town hall. Everything was pre-selected, and it was very soft. But this was a question about pro-life, where a pro-life voter asks Trump about his commitment to pro-life. Now, you would think this should be easy for him because he's the guy who was in office when with Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. So that should be part of, instead of running from that, that should be part of your legacy. But I want you to listen to this. This was very weird. Listen.
For me, it all comes down to this question.
Okay.
So between you, sir, President Trump, and Ron DeSantis, because you both talk a lot about pro-life, your record, and that's my number one issue and the cry of my heart. Good. Is justice for all people. And I've been, you know, vocal in celebrating with you all of your pro-life victories from the past. But then in this campaign, you've also blamed pro-lifers for some of the GOP losses around the country, and you've called heartbeat laws like Iowa's terrible. And so I'd just like some clarity on this because it's such an important question to me.
Okay.
I'd like for you to reassure me that you can protect all life, every person's right to life, without compromise.
So that's a great question. I appreciate it, too. You wouldn't be asking that question, even talking about the issue, because for 54 years they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it. They wanted to get it back, right? You wouldn't be have that. There would be no question. Nobody else was going to get that done but
that,
me.
Yeah.
And we did it, and we did something that was a miracle. When I walked onto the stage today, a gentleman in the back, probably works for Fox, nice guy, said, sir, I'd like to thank you. I said, for what? He said, you saved 2 million lives in the last 3 years. You saved 2 million lives. And I said, thank you very much. I knew exactly what he meant. 2 million lives. And nobody's done more in that regard than me. Now, I happen to be for the exceptions, like Ronald Reagan, with the life of the mother, rape, incest. I just have to be there, I feel. I think probably 78% or so, Paul, about 78%. It was Ronald Reagan. He was for it. I was for it. But I will say this. You have to win elections. Otherwise, you're going to be back where you were, and you can't let that ever happen again. You've got to win elections. If you look at it, Ron DeSantis, I don't know what he really believes, because, you know, you never know with a politician, and he's just another politician as far as I'm concerned. But
he's different somehow.
His poll numbers have gone down to a level that he's going to be out of the race very soon. He's going to be out very soon.
I just think it's weird that his first response was not to defend pro-life or the pro-life position, but to argue that being pro-life or having an overabundance of pro-life messaging compromises your position or that hurts your poll numbers. And then he segues into DeSantis being too pro-life. That's weird to me because they didn't compromise. And it wasn't just DeSantis. It was a ton of Florida lawmakers. They didn't compromise that position in Florida when they won by double digits the last election and eliminated Democrats from any statewide office. And before you say, well, that's Florida was literally a purple state until an election ago. I'll say it again. Florida was a purple state until one election ago. So you can't say, oh, well, that's Florida. It's different. I watched when Florida went for Barack Obama. I was there, and that's when I knew it was an hour into the night in 2012, and I watched Florida go Democrat. I watched Florida lawmakers barely win statewide offices, like Republican office, Republican officials barely win statewide offices. It was literally a swing state until one election ago. They did not compromise their message. They embraced it, and then they were smart about it. They were smart about what actually Democrats are pushing for, abortion on demand funded by the taxpayer, because very blatantly, that's what it is. You had a bill in the Senate that was co-sponsored by every Democrat in the Senate that literally removed the Hyde Amendment, which that ignores fungibility anyway. It's, you know, a whole other debate, but it removed the Hyde Amendment, and it literally was actually legalizing abortion as birth control on demand up until birth, eligible for taxpayer coverage. They were very smart about their messaging in Florida. And instead of going that route, I don't understand Trump's answer. His first instinct is to not defend pro-life. It's to immediately say, well, if you're too pro-life, it hurts your poll numbers. That is not a champion for the cause. That is not championing that issue. And I will caution people who are so blinded, and I don't say that to be mean, but people who are so blinded for cult of personality or to back a candidate, remember, you are the priority, not them. If this is a cause that's close to your heart, that is not an answer that from someone that sounds like they're championing that cause. You do with that what you will. But I'm telling you, that's not the answer that a champion of the cause would give. Now, I'm going to say this. We're going to just get it all out of the way because we got a very interesting guest coming up about polling. So I'm going to get into all that later. I have never heard, and at first when he started this, I thought this was going to be something I was going to be using as a highlight for a bad moment in the debate. I'm not going to lie. When he first started this, I was like, this is not going to, I don't know what I think about this. This might be a low moment for him. Because when you're explaining, you're losing. That was how my perspective on it. But it ended up, I think, being one of the best explainers. So this is the perspective through which I was taking this answer. Because DeSantis was asked about Trump's legal cases and all that, and he's got stuff going on today. And I think that each the cases are different. Some of them are absolute witch hunts, you know, but everything has to be looked at separately. Because my thing is the Mar-a-Lago doc thing, because that's actually gets into some real legal issues. But the other stuff is witch hunt stuff. Now, voters have only one loyalty, and that's to the cause of limited government and freedom and preserving it for the future. There's no such thing as being disloyal as a voter. That does not exist in this republic. And you have to very seriously consider how best to advocate and advance your issues and your will going forward. That's what this is. Politicians are just instruments. That's the perspective through which I took this answer. DeSantis was asked about it, and I think that he explained it very well in 45 seconds. And I've never heard this actually addressed head on like this. And I wanted to play it for you. This is Audio Soundbite 5.
But I think there's a larger issue Republicans have got to think of it. Donald Trump's going to lose that appeal. He's going to end up going to trial in front of a stacked left-wing D.C. jury of all Democrats. What are the odds that he's going to get through that? And that's not even talking about the validity of the charges. I don't think he gets through that. And so what are we going to do as Republicans in terms of who we nominate for president? If Trump is the nominee, it's going to be about January 6th. Legal issues, criminal trials. The Democrats and the media would love to run with that. I'm not running for my issues. I'm running for your issues. We need to make this election a referendum on the failures of Joe Biden, the failures of the Democratic Party, and how we have the formula to engineer a great comeback for this country. That's what I would
When he first started that, I thought he was going to get in the weeds and this is going to be bad. And he didn't. That's a very good answer. And it puts a lot on the table to think about. You're not excusing Democrat corruption. But if you have another tool in your hand that you can use for defense and advancement of your issues, why not use it?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so the ultra processed diet that everybody's been fighting over with nutrition, apparently, now people are asking, is it really bad? Is America's ultra processed diet that bad? Big food, because there's big everything now. You know how everything is like gate something? Now everything is like big. So it was like big farmer. Can't forget that from yesterday. The food industry is rallying to defend processing, and they say the changes could rock the world of manufacturers. Like high fructose corn syrup, things like that. I mean, it's, I don't know. It is bad for you. You need to eat as like whole as you possibly can, I think. What are they not telling us? A whistleblower says that the United States is hiding a UFO the size of a football field. This comes on the heels of a video that I saw on Instagram where it said someone in Brazil saw a 10-foot-tall alien on checking out a top of a cliff. Just saying, it's all kind of freaky. They're saying that the government's hiding a 12-meter football field. TARDIS-like alien craft. That's what they're saying. Daily Mail. It was 60 people attended a talk in a New York penthouse, and probably everybody was high. I don't know. I just feel like somebody would say something. Don't you think so? No, I mean, like, somebody who, like, has actual knowledge would say something.
I think the government's disclosed a lot of alien stuff recently.
Have they?
I wouldn't be surprised this is true.
Though? Yeah, I don't think so. No, they give you, like, here's and there's. It's not anything concrete. Okay, so lanky extraterrestrials were filmed by a shocked onlooker in Brazil days after the Miami shadow aliens were spotted. They said that they look like they're 10 feet tall. They were spotted on a hilltop. And this came out, it was in Brazil. And they said that they moved swiftly. It's on video. Why is it that they're all, like, all the videos of the aliens, they're all super far away? Yeah. And they're kind of blurry and grainy and, you know, like, you can't actually see anything.
Like Bigfoot.
It's so goofy. Like, everybody's got a phone. And I know y'all's cameras are better than that. So why is it nobody with a decent camera is around whenever any of this comes up? I just feel like I would probably risk my life to get good footage. You know what I'm saying? That's me, though. I'd be like, I'm tired of this blurry footage. And then I would just forget all, like, sense of self-preservation. This was a bad headline. The headline said that Sweden states all citizens must be prepared for war. That's not really what they said. They just said you can't be apathetic. So, Robert Salvador, AI polling. This is fascinating. You want real scientific polling? Because most of it's garbage. Stay tuned.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've always said that if there came a point in time in this race where I couldn't see a path to accomplishing that goal, that I would get out. And it's clear to me tonight that there isn't a path for me to win the nomination, which is why I'm suspending my campaign tonight for President of the United States.
It's not exactly surprising that Chris Christie did this. I mean, he hasn't been doing very well. He didn't merit inclusion in the last debate that was held last night. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour, you can listen coast to coast all over the country. You can stream the radio program if you're not listening terrestrially. And then, of course, the video component, the simulcast, Channel 3047, DirecTV via the First. You can also find us Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. So what does this do to the primary landscape? Where is his one voter going to go? It might sound mean, but where's the support going to go? He's got tens of voters, guys. Where, for real though, where is this support going to go? Because I feel like he was kind of a spoiler in New Hampshire. But then I look at some of the latest data that's coming out and I wonder how much I can actually trust it. Because polls by and large, it's an oppo. It really is. I mean, so much of it is. You got these polling firms that work on behalf of campaigns that are hired through third parties and they do it all to influence a narrative. And you don't know what you can trust and what you can't trust. And then introducing AI. AI is very... I saw this yesterday, and this is, let me just get to it. I saw this yesterday, Robert Salvador, who is head of this, very impressive. He's CEO of Digibuild. It's a top AI company. And he did what I think is like the first I think it is the first AI, like, data-driven poll, because AI doesn't really care if it's looking for information and it wants to incorporate that in. And I found this absolutely fascinating. And my first thought was, I wonder why more campaigns don't do this. And then my second thought was, because that would totally kill the narrative. So Robert Salvatore, you can find him on X. He joins us now via Skype. Robert, first off, thank you so much for joining us. And I loved the explainer that you have. And I wanted you to talk about this to the audience, because this is one of the top things that I hear from people all around the country is, well, can you trust the polls? And the polls say this. And why does this poll seem to completely counter this poll? And it's also subjective. But this, what you have introduced, isn't. It's data driven.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, one of the things we started looking at earlier this year, you know, as I got kind of closer to the DeSantis campaign and participated in this election and things like that, is these polls are being used to drive a narrative, and they're not being used in the way where the statistics and the math behind them is sound or trustworthy. Just a couple examples, right? You talked about, you know, previous polls, 2016, we were told it is 100% positive Donald Trump cannot win. The only thing that was positive was the people putting out the polls didn't want Trump to win. In 2020, we were given those COVID death charts that told us, hey, we have to lock you down because all these statistics are saying people are going to die. So what has happened is, you know, mainstream media and a lot of the left and these different, even on the right now, has weaponized polls and communication just like anything else. So the statistics behind polls make sense, right? I've used this example. If you have a big bowl of Skittles of all different colors and you reach in there a couple times and you put a handful on the table, do that, you know, 7 or 8 or 10 times, then you can figure out probability wise what's probably in the bigger bowl of Skittles. What colors are there? That's just math. The problem is they're trying to apply that to voting and elections and things like that. And there are so many different components and data points and things that make people's voting decision. Now, add that in 2023, it's taboo to talk about who you're going to vote for. So these polls have been used, in my opinion, to kind of misrepresent. And, you know, as another great conservative radio host once said, like yourself, Rush Limbaugh, polls are used to suppress the vote. Mm. So what we did was we came out with a poll that was more based on data points, personality types. And we combined that with an old school traditional methodology. And it's something that we believe is going to be more accurate and includes more data than what's out there. And so far, so good. We're the only one who said Chris Christie has no support whatsoever and he shouldn't be here. And yesterday we got validated when he dropped out. Last thing I'll say is, you know, Des Moines Register had him at 3%. Trafalgar had him at 4%. We had him under 1%. So it looks like, you know, early on, this data is more accurate than just kind of blind statistics, like is what happens right now with traditional polls.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Talking with Robert Salvatore, CEO of DigiBuild, and he's also been advising the DeSantis campaign on this as well, and then doing these really great data driven polls. This, yeah, I love the example that you gave of the Skittles. One of the things that you explained too is that, and correct me if I'm wrong on this. I interpreted this incorrectly. You can also measure shifting sentiment. Because one of the things with the colors and the, you know, the Skittles is that those aren't going to really change. That's, you know, you can pretty much, you know what you're going to get after you figure it out, you know, the probability. But with elections, there's so many variables, as you said, and energies can change and momentum can change. Is that accurate to say that you can even kind of gauge shifting sentiment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in 2023, we live in a world where people are leaving digital breadcrumbs everywhere we go. Even the most, you know, person who cares about privacy and things like that, your data points about you are being measured everywhere. So when something big happens, you can look at keywords, you could look at sentiment across different language, you could look at posts on, you know, there's a million different types of social media now. So absolutely, we can measure these trends and see, you know, who's trending in a good direction or who's trending in a bad direction. One of the examples I used is some of the training data that, you know, the machine learning looked at was Governor DeSantis's 2022 governor election victory, where most of the mainstream polls only showed him up a couple points, maybe 5, maybe 3 points. And if you looked at the sentiment around that, it certainly appeared to our method that he would have won by a lot more. So we probably would have put him at 10 or 15% ahead. And obviously we all know he won by a wide margin, 20%. So there's just, to your point about the Skittles, you can try and guess what the Skittles are, but again, you're just generalizing that math. But if one of the Skittles makes a post and said, I love Red Skittles so much. I'm so happy to be a Red Skittle, you know, Red Skittles for life. Well, that data point now has given you something with the statistics to make it more accurate. So, I mean, again, the example I use all the time is log on to Amazon Prime. They can tell you about your buying habits better than your own family. Your aunt asks you what you want for Christmas. Amazon Prime will tell you down to the memory stick of the phone, camera. So that's what we're trying to use data to just make better assumptions, have more accuracy, and be more transparent, because that's what this is supposed to be if these things represent democracy.
So this one poll that you posted this, I want to make sure I get this date, you posted this January 7th, and it was the first, this AI data and tech-driven poll, and it was looking at the primary. And of course, you still had Christie in here, less than 1%. And then you were absolutely validated by that as well. This primary poll from January 1st to the 7th, it had Trump at 40, DeSantis at 34, Haley at 16, Ramaswamy at 10, and Christie less than 1%. And then the sentiment and activity trend, you had Trump falling, DeSantis rising, Haley falling, Ramaswamy rising, and Christie neutral. So it doesn't really seem that Christie's presence or his lack thereof now is really going to change anything. You also noted too that there were a lot of independents in this. How does that impact this as well? Because that's what's really difficult for everybody to kind of gauge.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, the first thing to mention is this was a beta test, right? So, you know, that's why we kind of open sourced it and we said, hey, give us suggestions and, you know, how can we make this better? So I think one of the things that we did do was poll independents a little bit too high. So we'll adjust that for the next one. The reason we did that was because in order to get the online data, the online sentiment, we wanted to go a bit wider, you know, knowing that very traditional, maybe old school Iowans might not have as big of a digital presence. So we went a little bit wider to get the training data, because if we can train a word that means, hey, you know, MAGA is the worst, you know, we know that that across the spectrum now means something to other data points. So we did go a little bit wide with the independents because of that. We're going to scale that down for the next one. I mean, I think it might make a difference a little bit, but remember, Iowa is a same day registration date. So independents do show up to the caucuses and can change that registration and caucus that same day. So yeah, that's one of the things that we are going to change, and we're going to release some more data about, you know, how we got to this. One of the things we're trying to show is the traditional methodology, you know, with the you know, with the errors and, you know, with the weighting and things like that. But we also want to show a way to, like, kind of represent how our algorithm works, since it's software based. Right. So we'll release more information on that as well. But yeah, we're going to put out another poll on the 14th. And yeah, you could see in the trends there that, you know, we thought both DeSantis and Vivek were rising, and, you know, Haley and Haley and Trump were falling. Mm. And then Christie just didn't have much to measure. And that's another reason we were like, people are not voting for this guy.
Yeah. And then this could, I mean, and this all, again, so much is shifting. Even before New Hampshire, we're talking with Robert Salvador. You can find him on X at Robert J. Salvador. And he's talking about this beta test of the first AI data and tech driven poll, because the polls were wrong in 2016. They were wrong in 2018. We were told there was going to be this giant red wave in 2020 that never manifest. And really 22, same thing. And it's all the same people. I don't even know why we it's all the same firms and it's the same people. And it's always reported as, well, maybe this cycle they're going to get it right, but they don't. And some of that, too, Robert, is their methods and their approaches are very old school, because you got to call people. And how many people have landlines anymore? And how many people? I mean, it's very, very hard to survey people. I mean, just to get a reliable 500 person sample, you have to cast a net so wide, and that's so expensive. Whereas AI and data, actually, I don't think is.
Absolutely. So, you know, you bring up an important piece about the collection method. Going back to that Skittles example, in order to make the measurement of how many types of Skittles are in that big bowl, you have to have a good random sample. You can't be biased in your sample. You can't pick up more reds on purpose than oranges, right? And so to your point, these old school pollsters or the traditional pollsters continue to use landlines and cold calling. And again, both from a data perspective, no one answers that. And from just a subjective kind of taboo perspective, no one tells strangers who they're going to vote for in 2023. So even in the collection method, we used more technology. So we used a combination of automated calls, text messages, social media outreach, and even incentivized opt-in to try and get a wider spread that was more accurate. And to your point, so I'll give an example that just came out last night. So we had the debate where obviously DeSantis performed very well. I mean, no one in their right mind can say DeSantis is really falling the way, you know, polls try and say. Suffolk University came out today, a day after the debate last night, and said DeSantis is going down and Haley is going up. Now, it's important to remember they are looking in the back in the past because they would have had to collect this data over a couple weeks and then clean it and do all that stuff. So, again, see how that's being used in the media. They didn't say, hey, this snapshot is from a week or two ago and isn't going to impact what you think about the debate last night because it doesn't take into account that data. No, they released it the next day. All of these mainstream outlets run with it, and you're looking at bad, biased data. To your point, they keep calling the same people on the same list. Even just the people who would answer that phone call would be a bias to the data set. It's usually older white women in Iowa, you know, you typically, you know, 60 or above, maybe even older, who are answering those phone calls and might be willing to say, hey, you know, here's who I'm voting for. So just that demographic and segment alone is biasing the data set. If it's only older white women that answer the call, your data set's already biased. And so that's why tech and a combination of these type of polls can and will be way more accurate. And we're really excited to introduce this because outside of the primary, no matter who wins, Republicans need this to even keep up with the Democrats who have this in spades.
Because at some point, I feel like polls stop being a good measure of voter sentiment to be useful tools to correct and guide campaigns. And they became just like tools of info warfare and narrative farming. That's what it seems like, which then makes me wonder, you know, these people that run these firms and the existing polling firms now, I mean, this is a cash cow for them. This is a whole cottage industry. These gatekeepers, they're not going to want the competition of something that's truly data driven.
Yeah, no one has reposted us. So besides you, you know, big influencers and people from the Republican Party, none of these pollsters, none of the aggregators online have reposted us. That poll that you're looking at has almost 350,000 views. It's gotten reshared, you know, across Twitter millions of times. It was just proven right with Chris Christie yesterday. Not one single mainstream pollster has acknowledged it whatsoever. But then today they post that Suffolk poll that's absolute nonsense. And so you're right. They're lying with statistics. There is a book called How to Lie with Statistics. And unfortunately, we're learning that across society, just like we learned during COVID, where the, you know, the NIH and the FDA betrayed people of their trust, these pollsters are doing the same thing. Exactly. Notice that no one is coming out with new polls now. All of a sudden that it's being measured the last 3 weeks, they stopped coming out with new polls almost across the board. So it's definitely a conspiracy.
Yeah, an establishment one for sure. Robert Salvador, we'd love to have you back. I find this fascinating. And I think it's a true measure. Well, I mean, it is a true measure. I don't think it is very data driven. I'd love to have you back, though, to talk more, especially after you come out with more on the 14th. Thank you so much for doing this and for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to, Dana. Thanks for everything you do as well.
Of course. Thanks so much.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I have a million different Florida Mans here. Like, for instance, I got to share this one first. Some people got into a fight over an uncut foot long. It's a real story. This is over at The Messenger had this. And this was sent to me by Florida woman Amber, who loves sending me some of the craziest Florida stories. A man in Florida was charged with battery. He got mad at a Subway sandwich shop. Albert DeBarros ordered a sandwich. It was on Tuesday. But he was upset when he got the sandwich and he realized it had not been sliced in half. And so he went in the store, lost his mind. He decided the correct way to handle this was to take said sandwich and throw it at the sandwich maker's head. And then he left, and then the sandwich maker followed him outside, photographed his license plate. He was tracked down by police, and he said that he was upset over his sandwich not being cut, but he meant to hit the counter with his sandwich instead of the sandwich maker. But the store surveillance, I know, he's such a liar, because the store surveillance showed him taking the sandwich and literally directing it right straight at her head. So he was arrested, charged with battery over a sandwich. $1,000 bond he posted. He's going to be arraigned on February 1st. It's the dumbest thing ever. Do you know what happens if you get a sandwich that's not cut? Cut your sandwich.
Eat
it. I mean, now you got to go to court, you genius. Good grief. It's so stupid. Yeah, or you can just eat it. I mean, it's not difficult. Good grief. Let's see. One Florida woman hurled mac and cheese and pickled sausages at a store One guy got hit by it in the face of the Pelican. Oh my gosh. And then there was a Central Florida man that found a stolen trailer using his Apple AirTag. Shakira had a stalker arrested. I'm going to have to get to this tomorrow. But we have our third hour on the way. Congressman Chip Roy is going to join us later. Don't miss.
Protests all around the nation. They're blocking tunnels. They're blocking roads. Why? Why aren't they protesting? When will we get the hostages back home? Why aren't they protesting Hamas? Why aren't they protesting systemic rape and torture of Israeli women and children? I don't ever get it. We can't really until we get every last one brought. And every last one of them are in my walls in my office. I encourage anything you want to stop by. You can see them.
Wow. Wow, that's John Fetterman saying some really obvious stuff right here. Wow. I'm amazed at that. That is, he's asking people, why aren't they protesting Hamas? Kane, I don't know what to do anymore with this. First off, let's welcome everybody back because they're like, why are we agreeing with him? What's happening here? You didn't fall into the upside down. We don't know what's happening either. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. Joining us later on, Congressman Chip Roy. That was Senator John Fetterman. I don't know why he's making sense, y'all. This is the second time in 5 days. Kane?
I don't know.
Is my perception of reality is being shattered right now?
It seems real. I mean, you and I are both experiencing it in real time. This is, it's eye-opening. To have two now moderate Democrats in the Senate?
But he's like going further than even Manchin does with this stuff. That's why I'm
I didn't see that
on
coming
this struggle bus.
When he was elected? Did you see that coming in 2022 when he was elected? No.
I mean, I've already given him a hoodie pass. Come on, man. I don't know what else I can. I mean, I don't know. You're right. I'm not going to criticize him for wearing a hoodie anymore because I feel like, you know, he's socking it to the right people. So I'm going to overlook it. Although I did have a reader tell me that they would agree with me on that, but that Steelers hat's got to go. Democrats, as I said, they can't go after him. This literally was yesterday. They can't go after him for this because why do you hate people with strokes or who had them? Not that he still possesses it, but you know what I mean. Why do you hate them? I don't know. I'm fascinated by this. In the meantime, can we please now, audio soundbite 22, I've been waiting for this one, because we've been talking all about the primary, all this stuff. We need to have this little convo about Mrs. Jill Biden. She's defending infant baby Hunter, guys. Sweet little infant baby Hunter. Listen.
How have you been coping personally with the onslaught of accusations against your husband and your family, including and especially Hunter? It's the focus of a House Oversight Committee hearing, holding him in contempt, obsessing yes. over him, showing pictures of him during vulnerable moments horrible. In his battle with addiction on the floor of the House. This would crush any family.
Mika, I think what they are doing to Hunter is cruel. And I'm really proud of how Hunter has rebuilt his life after addiction. You know, I love my son, and it's hurt my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm so concerned about, that it's affecting their lives as well.
She wasn't worried about her grandkids and having their lives affected when their dad was out there snorting blow off hookers' backsides. But it's only because the photos came out in relation to an investigation because he was using money that he probably, the Burisma money and money that he got paid off from China, Chinese companies, the CCP, for merging out his dad's VP office and presidential ambitions and using that to pay for these things. And then the fact that it's being reported on because it came up in an investigation, that's so damaging to those kids. But not like his actions of actually snorting the blow off the hooker's backside, just the fact that it came out in an investigation. You know what? She's the type of mom who's like, I don't care if they drink, just do it in the house. That's her. You know it is. I'm the cool mom. That's her. She is so that. I don't care if you drink, just do it in the house, okay? That's Jill Biden. That's Jill. Poor baby. Why are you like talking about him, Kane? Why are you talking? It's so cruel to talk about baby Hunter. You're hurting his kids.
Just seizing and pouncing.
You're seizing and pouncing on him. Pounce and seize and pounce. What's the matter with you? I'm trying to get all the silly stuff out of the way first because we got to talk about some of the other heavy stuff again. I do want to touch on one other quick cultural thing, identity politics. So, where did I say this was from? I put it in audio because it rendered me momentarily senseless. It was so stupid, audibly. It's the choir that was singing all the... So it's this choir of... I don't know how to put... How would I put this? What's the best way I could use to describe this?
They call themselves the All Souls Choir.
The All Souls?
Yeah.
So this group, they... It's some kind of a Unitarian church. I roll. I said it. I don't feel bad for saying it. I'll say it again louder. But it's a politically DEI. It's like DEI church, essentially. This is what this is. And they decided to do how would you describe this? Seriously, it's so weird. No one asked for this.
Just let everyone experience it for themselves.
We had to listen to this, so now you guys do too. We got to share the burden, guys. Lift each other's burdens up, right? That's what this year's all about. Listen, this is horrible. This is so bad. It's called identity politics. I already hate it. Socialists. You're right. Ding, ding, ding. You don't win anything except the joy of being right. I don't even know how. I can't.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you put this in Slack, I clicked on it this yesterday and heard it and thought this was a joke. This was something that a comedy troupe was doing.
Mm-hmm.
For like almost the entire video until towards the end, I was like, wait a minute. They're serious.
Yeah, this is totally unironic.
Wow.
And the woman is wearing what looks like a towel who's leading it. I don't know what that is, that Mrs. Roper dress. I don't know what that is. It is one of the worst things I've ever heard. And they're making the word, they're forcing the words, the meter so bad. Valid ID. Oh my gosh, I can't deal. If you thought Hillsong was bad, wait until you hear these people. Oh, I said that too. Oh, Dana, why are you so mean? Oh, okay. I meant to cleanse your palate, but instead I just ruined it, I'm sure. So some of the other things we're hitting, because we've got Congressman Chip Roy. Yes, there's all the primary stuff, but what's happening in the House with the spending bills? So if you get my email prep, if you get my newsletter, chapter and verse, lots of good stuff that comes out. Republicans are pretty mad because this $1.6 trillion spending plan, apparently it killed the advancement of other bills. And now we're looking in, what is it, 8 days now, 9 days? Another shutdown, which you knew this was coming. We told the other thing was temporary. And a lot of people are questioning whether or not Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, Well, there, I mean, he's as moderate as McCarthy was, so there's no big conservative get here. But they're saying that he is not able to actually shepherd any kind of anything through, and that they're going to, the same thing that we just saw happen a couple of months ago is going to happen again. And we're going to talk to him about that and dive into all of that. Now, in the meantime, a few other audio sound bites here. I made mention during the primary when I was on social media. Why is it that candidates, when they're caught on video saying things, they turn around and say that they didn't say them? Like, for instance, one of the things last night, I'm going to go to audio soundbite 14. Haley was asked about, and was kind of, they were holding her to account for some of the things that she had said regarding immigration, because she's not the strongest. And I just want to play this flashback, audio soundbite 14, because she says it's a lie to say that she said this. Listen.
But let's keep in mind, these people that are wanting to come here, they want to come for a better life too. They have kids too. They have a heart too. So we don't need to be disrespectful. We don't need to talk about them as criminals. They're not. They're families that want a better life, and they're desperate to get here.
Okay, so you can still do that the legal way. She also said that it was a lie that she ever said this. Audio soundbite 13. She says it's a lie to say that she said this.
Madam Ambassador, another question is, what care should be on the table when a 12-year-old child in this country, assigned female at birth, says, actually, I feel more comfortable living as a boy? What should the law allow the response to be?
Well, I think the law should stay out of it, and I think parents should handle it.
So if I want to make my child bulimic, I think the law should stay out of it, and the parents should handle it. Seriously? But you can't say that she said that because it's demeaning to her. She actually said that in the debate last night. And then she could not explain, audio soundbite 12. This was a flashback of when she was asked, again, it's a lie that she struggled to defend this. That was one of the things that she made mention of last night. She couldn't explain at any point why she... It was a word set. It was like Kamala Harris level word salad talking about bathrooms. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 12, flashback.
So do you think Senator Bright's bill is unnecessary then?
I don't believe it's necessary, because I think if you look at everything that we've had happen, there's not one instance that I'm aware of. I look at
Bright's
South
bill
Carolina
was about
and we're,
bathrooms.
Like I said, a state where we don't have to mandate respect and kindness. And I think that that's something that we have seen play out. And with that bill in 1999, we're not hearing any issues of religious liberty violations or anything else. And so I think we're
That bill specifically was about keeping men out of women's bathrooms. And she didn't think it was necessary. So that was brought up, and she said, oh, that's a lie. You're demeaning me. That's a lie that was said. But it's not. I mean, you're literally on video saying all of these things. So are we liars because we heard you say what you said? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. People remember this stuff. Coming up, we've got headlines. And the latest with, oh boy, that spending bill in the House, you don't want to miss, because they're kicking the can down the road again. We're going to get all the deets from Chip Roy.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh man, this is bad. Over 130 pounds of kielbasa sold nationwide, recalled for possible contamination.
130,000 pounds,
right? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's crazy. They said that if you're wanting to have a Polish meal night, be careful about what kielbasa you use. Apparently, they said that Salm Partners of Denmark, Wisconsin is recalling 133,039 pounds of ready-to-eat turkey kielbasa products that may be contaminated with extraneous materials like bone fragments. They said that it's the Parkview Turkey Polska kielbasa is what it is. Sir, you might want to check your stuff if you got them Polish sausages. Man, Oscar Mayer is sausage party. Oscar Mayer is hiring a full-time Wienermobile driver. You could drive the giant hot dog. They're opening 12 full-time driving positions. It's the hot dogger gig, they say. And you have to have a bachelor's degree in public relations. This is so stupid. That's dumb. That's really dumb. You're driving a giant wiener around town. Really? Really? What are you getting paid? They said that they public relations, similar fields, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what the average, what is it going to be? They said you could get a weekly allowance, base salaries, $35,000. Really? Seriously? Is this a trick? Sounds so stupid. Let's see here. I don't really want to talk about this one. It's the sea creature. It's an Aussie fisherman. I don't know what it is. It's a weird looking thing. They say it's called a sea pen, right? It looks like it's an alien. Let's just put it that way. It looks so bad. A semi truck spilled frozen pizza onto I-90 in Eastern Washington. That's so bad. I love frozen pizza. I like homemade pizza the best. I like all pizza. It was carrying frozen pizzas. What kind, though? It better not be the Totino's, which I literally until last year thought was Tostino's, and it's not. It's Totino's. There's no like S in the beginning of that. Congressman Chip Roy joins us next. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The president has put forth over $10 billion to assist at the border. We've always been for controlling our border, for securing the border. There's never been a question about that. But how it is done, how we honor our values in terms of asylum seekers and the rest, but also how we have order there.
Nobody believes that. That's Nancy Pelosi, because this big border fight was spending in the House. This is like one of the hot topics in addition to the primary, which we're going to talk about. But Nancy Pelosi saying that Democrats have always been for it. It's been a matter of how. They just don't want to do it. Joining us on this, he is like one of the biggest border busters out there, Congressman Chip Roy from the wonderful Republic of Texas. He joins us now, and he still has like the best corner of an office I've ever seen. And of course, you know, playing Stevie Ray Vaughan, he's got awesome music right there by him. Congressman, it's good to see you. I just wanted to get like your initial reaction to that, because this is a big fight that Republicans are having with themselves. And then, of course, then they have to dispel these Democrat narratives that, well, no, Democrats, it's just a debate, Congressman, as to how we want to do it. They're so committed.
Yeah, Danny, good to be on. And yeah, real quick, that intro is Stevie Ray Vaughan. All you're doing is making me want to sit around and listen to good blues music and Stevie Ray and have a beer rather than talk about misery that is the swamp failing America. And by the way, right here on this poster, that's Jimmy Vaughan right there.
I know, I saw it.
And, you know, Jimmy, for those who don't know, is Stevie Ray's brother and is an accomplished guitarist himself and a good guy and a constituent, by the way. He lives in the district I represent. So, the border, we had a hearing this morning, an immigration subcommittee hearing in the Judiciary Committee, and a chief of police from Eagle Pass was there. And he was talking about how it's costing them about $17,000 a day to take in the calls. 65% of the calls that are coming in are from or about illegal. And that means a bunch of Americans aren't able to get through. They're left out. They can't get through at EMS. I could go down a laundry list of things you and I both know. And you just played that clip from Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, well, we've always known this problem. We've been trying to solve this problem. That is garbage. Okay. Since I've been on the Hill, I've been here now for 5 years, 2 years I spent on the Oversight Committee, and then now three on the Judiciary. And during that time, they have used the phrase manufactured crisis. They sat there and they would deny it. They'd go to the floor. They'd say in the committees, you're making this up. This is not true. There's not a real crisis. And the fact is, we've all been seeing the crisis. The only drop in the crisis was briefly at the end of President Trump's tenure when they implemented Remain in Mexico and Title 42 under COVID. We've had a massive crisis that's undermining our security and safety. And God bless Governor Abbott for what they're doing now in implementing this law in Texas and pushing back with DPS. I just saw a report today that they're taking action and taking over activities under emergency orders in Eagle Pass. And look, there is no distance the governor can go under the law, within using his powers under normal, rules of engagement to make sure we secure and defend Texas that I won't support. He should go as far as he needs to, because the federal government is letting him and us down.
Yeah, very much so. Talking with Congressman Chip Roy. And that's tell me a little bit about just the fight that I get that some of this is just legacy press that's trying to bait Republicans in a more inter-party conflict. But there's a lot of headlines about questions related to Mike Johnson's leadership as speaker and that he doesn't have I guess, the political capital to shepherd through what needs to be done with regards to any kind of compromise, any kind of, because I know we got, what, another, nine days now that we're going to be facing this other shutdown stuff. What is the truth of that? I mean, I know it's still kind of new in his speakership, but, you know, a lot of people are asking questions, and he's not a bad guy. He's not like, he doesn't have your record. There is a difference.
Well, look, Mike Johnson is a friend, and I want to be very clear. He was dealt a very tough hand. I want to be fair about that, right? The speaker got vacated. I didn't support the vacate move, and I got pilloried from the right for that. But one of the reasons I didn't support it was because when you're in the middle of the game and you pull the coach in the third quarter, all the players are kind of looking around going, what do we do now? So guess what's happening right now? Everybody's looking around going, what do we do now? And the speaker is trying to do his best in a tough environment. However, I'm also not an excuse guy. The American people gave Republicans the majority to deliver. We're having, you know, yesterday, you may have seen the news. We took down the rule yesterday. That inflames, you know, the anger from the usual suspects in town. And they go, oh, what are you doing? You're the chaos party. No, we came here not to just pass bills to campaign on. We came here to cut spending, secure the border, deliver on the promises we made. We are not doing that right now. We are capitulating to the swamp right now. And that's not just Mike. I want to be very clear. Mike reflects the conference. The conference is not where it needs to be. Okay? I hear all this stuff like, well, Chip, not everybody's you. Not everybody's in the Freedom Caucus. Not everybody's from Texas. I don't give a damn. Okay? We run as Republicans, and we're supposed to actually deliver. And every single one of these Republicans, even in the bluish district, are campaigning on border security. They're campaigning on constraining spending and ending inflation. So don't come here and give me your crap when you then put down and support a bill that's $1.66 trillion, blows the caps, is above Nancy Pelosi's spending levels, and doesn't secure the border. I said on CNN yesterday, of all the places, I said I'd be willing to accept a spending cut bill if we triggered the caps that didn't address border security to my liking right out of the gate, if it meant we could accomplish something for the people by cutting the bureaucracy. On the flip side, I would eat spending I don't love to get a border security package that actually secures the border. I just want to deliver on something, one dang thing. And I gave that speech before Thanksgiving. All my colleagues said, oh my God, Democrats are running that clip saying Republicans haven't delivered. I said, you know the best solution to that? Deliver.
Yeah, no, don't talk about them not delivering. Deliver. Just do your job. Talking with Congressman Chip Roy. This was one of the things that you brought up, too. And I you gave an interview. I actually retweeted it. I feel like it's kind of like new year, new Congressman Roy energy, because you went on this laundry list. You weren't unnecessarily bashing the former president at all. I think as voters, and I always tell people this, I don't believe in a monarchy. That's why we have a republic and why we have these processes. And I also think that it is our right and responsibility to question, you know, lawmakers and say, why wasn't this done when you promised this and it wasn't done? You made a point about taxing remittances to Mexico as a way to subsidize the border. And you said this could have been done and it wasn't done under the previous administration. Talk to me about that.
Well, remember a number of things. Let me first say for the audience out there, and they know your position and mine in support of Governor DeSantis. You and I both, I supported Ted Cruz in the primary, but I supported I supported President Trump in 16. I supported him in 2020. I'll support him if he's the nominee. But look, what you do matters. Your record matters. And let's take them in series. The border. The former president said he would sign an executive order that would end birthright citizenship. That never happened over 4 years. He said he would build the wall, have Mexico pay for it. Well, we built a lot of the wall. Credit to some of my friends in the agency fighting to get money over a recalcitrant Congress. But it was only 50 miles. And by the way, we never got Mexico to pay for it. So to your point, Governor DeSantis has pointed out, and I have too, you could tax all the remittances of the dollars that go overseas, and it would yield billions of dollars to pay for the wall. You could literally have Mexico and Mexicans pay for the wall. But how about the bill that we messed up in 2018 when the former president sided with Paul Ryan and the Chamber of Commerce?
And that was the amnesty bill, correct?
Correct. It's the Chamber of Commerce, Wall Street Journal preferred, big amnesty, less security bill. The Freedom Caucus, with Ron DeSantis in it, supported the other bill, which was very little amnesty and more security. That bill got more votes. The president's bill got fewer votes. Leadership matters. The president campaigned on getting rid of Obamacare, came in, spent the first week in office talking about the crowd size on the mall. That was a fail. He didn't get Obamacare passed. He allowed it to get messed up by Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, and let John McCain do the thumbs down. Now, I know it's hard to move stuff through Congress, but that's an excuse. It's hard to get stuff through the Florida legislature. But Ron DeSantis has found a way. He found a way to win by 1.5 million votes. He found a way to win 62% of Hispanic voters. He found a way to lead by sending a plane full of illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. He found a way to get universal school choice. He found a way to pass a heartbeat bill. He found a way to stand with cops. He found a way to fire George Soros DAs. He found a way to challenge Disney and win against the corporate woke crowd. I can keep going. I can play this game all day long. So leadership matters. Governor DeSantis has delivered. I think former President Trump did some good things, but left a lot on the table.
Yeah. And to that point, talking with Congressman Chip Roy, you know, the issue in leadership, you mentioned executive order. You got to be able to shepherd some of this stuff and get and lead Congress and have them actually make this stuff into law or have a
right.
Because if something is done by executive order, it can be undone by an executive order. My gosh, we already saw that with Biden, like the first month of his, of this term, we already saw him undoing a whole bunch of EOs from under former President Trump. I mean, that's important as well, but it's a lot harder. It takes leadership.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that we saw on display last night in the comparison between Governor DeSantis and Governor Nikki Haley, right? I mean, Governor DeSantis has delivered across the board. You got Governor Haley coming in and dumping millions of dollars against Governor DeSantis in Iowa, which is, I think, a mistake. And is, frankly, out of bounds when you consider the extent to which she has not done her job to respect Iowans when she went to New Hampshire and she said, oh, you guys in New Hampshire will have to correct whatever Iowa does. Well, what did she mean by that? You know, and what did she mean when she said that she was proud of having not supported the bill in South Carolina to make sure that boys couldn't be in a girl's bathroom in schools? When she said she'd be happy for Disney to move to South Carolina after Governor DeSantis was challenging Disney? Right. When she was making decisions in the UN, she didn't do anything to stop $12.5 billion funding the UN while they were funding UNRWA, the dollars going to the Palestinians and Hamas. Mm. Meanwhile, she said, hey, why don't all you people over there in Gaza, potentially aligned with Hamas, come on over to the United States? She said that in December. I can go down a laundry list of things. Leadership matters. Decisions matter. Governor DeSantis has been there every step of the way. I hope we'll nominate him. I hope he wins in Iowa on Monday. You know, I'll keep working hard for them and we'll see what happens. It's up to the people of Iowa, not polls.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, we were just talking about polls. Had a really interesting AI data driven poll last hour. We'll see what happens. Monday, though, it's the big day. Congressman Chip Roy, we appreciate all your work and especially advocating for everybody who's so tired of this stuff at the border and being unafraid to be like, look, you gotta call the balls and strikes as they are. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much. Good to see you. Happy New
Year.
Thanks,
Sam. Thanks for having me on. Best, Chris. Take care.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. And that's, Monday, of course, we're going to pregame, we're going to postgame, we're going to have the wrap up on Tuesday, and we're going to set the table for New Hampshire going into it. I'll tell you again. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I just tell you where I stand and why, because I feel like that's important to be transparent. And I'm also not going to pretend that you're stupid and try to act like I'm going to triangulate and play all the sides like I see so many people do, because they do so disingenuously. And I think that's why a lot of people digitally struggle. So we're not going to do that. You can agree with me or not agree with me. But one thing that you can always count on is I call balls and strikes every single time. It doesn't make me popular with the establishment. It never has. And I've never sought their opinion on anything, good or otherwise. So just know that I am for the interests of, I share interests with voters. I'm for our interests and the interests of the country because politicians come and go, but our principles stay. And that's what's the constant.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
But if you go back and look at the records, you will see that the biggest fan of Dr. Fauci was Ron DeSanctimonious. He was a big fan. He said, I go by exactly, quote, I go by what Dr. Fauci said. He said that 2 months in, all the way through, and then eventually changed when it wasn't, that wasn't the dessert of the day. But Ron DeSantis was a big Dr. Fauci fan, and nobody wants to cover that. I say it every time.
Well, actually, I think we have all talked about it.
Yeah.
In fact, we talked about how when the science came out, that was the first state, along with Kemp in Georgia, to say, well, let's start reopening because some of this stuff isn't making sense. And I played at the start of the hour the times when Trump was criticizing him for that. Trump took to the cameras and was criticizing those governors for not following the edicts of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. I mean, we played it at the start of the hour. So when he realized, because nobody knew what was going on, everybody had such limited information with this thing. But the moment that science became clear, and he and Kemp and I think what, like another governor, reopened and said, no, wait. What DeSantis had to fight too was there were different county commissioners and mayors like Miami Beach that wanted to keep their areas closed. And that's when they had the executive order barring them from doing stuff, and then legislature passed something. So that's how they ended that, because they still had that fight even after it. But he was criticized by the president repeatedly, not just him, but other governors that followed suit, for not following along with the edict. And it wasn't DeSantis that gave Fauci an award when he could have been pardoning J6 people. That was Trump. You can get mad at me for saying this, but then I question, then if we're not allowed to hold politicians accountable, then are we really actually advocating for the good of our nation? Or are we, or is this nation exist and all of its voters to serve one politician? That's a completely fair question to ask. And I don't feel like asking that betrays someone's conservative record, which is miles thicker than a lot of the other people out there saying otherwise. I feel like these are completely fair things to ask. I mean, especially when some of us had kids that were shut inside the house and missed out on 2 years of education. And some of us had, although, you know, we were previous homeschoolers, so we kind of reverted back to some stuff. But that was tough for a lot of families when people lost their businesses and their livelihoods. You know, Florida wasn't one of the states that was arresting people like nail techs. That was Texas. So, you know, I think that you need to be, and there was no pushback on that. Neither from Brett Baer or Martha McCallum. And I was incredibly disappointed to see that. That was not the same as a debate. That was a fan club. That wasn't an ironing, sharpening iron. There was no pushback on that at all whatsoever. And I was really disappointed to see that. Again, is this for the sake of the country or just one politician? I just want to know. Is it the United States of America or the United States of something else? I don't know. But I say that because these are questions that are worth asking. And I think we're not going to retcon stuff. We don't allow Biden to do it. We're not going to allow anybody to do it. I remember that distinctly. I had friends who left the state and literally moved to Florida. They came back after everything began opening up in Texas, but they relocated to Florida with their whole families because it was open. While the coronavirus task force, with the former president, they were blasting these leaders, saying, oh, you shouldn't open, you're going to get people killed. I mean, that's one of the things he actually said. All right, today's stupidity, Kane.
All right, it is the press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre. I'm pronouncing that right.
Big farmer.
I just thought she's up there lying all the time, but maybe she's just misinformed. I have no idea, but this is the year she thinks January 6th happened. Listen to this.
On the eve ahead of January 6th, what we saw in 2011 on January 6th was an attack on our democracy. And
2011?
I guess what's happening?
I guess she got the 9/11. You know, it's worse than 9/11 mixed up with the J6, and then it just
between Big Farmer, Nordstrom pipeline, emeritus. Good heavens! So, the pronunciation of this party, folks. That does it for us this evening. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack. Have a great night. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.